It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, a beautiful Monday here in Vegas and a perfect time to talk about some Golden Knights hockey as we welcome you inside Studio 31. I am Ashley Weiss with Shane Knighty. Shane, this time next week, Stanley Cup playoffs.
Best time of year.
Best time of year. Well, what makes it the best time of year for you?
Because it's the only time I miss playing. When I look back and I think of the grind in a game in Columbus in December, I don't miss hockey. But when you get to playoffs, all that goes out the window. And this is what you play for, right? The opportunity to play for the Stanley Cup. This is the guys. It's hard to describe the energy you feel. You know, it's a long season. It's a grind to play 82 games. There's ups, there's downs. It's a mental battle. And it's even harder mentally and physically in playoffs. But the emotion, the energy, playing for the ultimate prize ramps you up each and every game. The intensity that you try to find at different levels throughout the season, it's there. It's built in. It's automatic. And that's why it makes for such great games. And the first round's always, you never know what'll happen. So exciting times, but still a couple games to take care of first.
Speaking of emotion and never knowing what will happen, yesterday's win.
Wow.
3-goal third period comeback. 4-goal third period comeback.
I think it's good to win in that matter. Certainly, you'd rather have a better start. But to prove to yourself at this time of the year that, hey, we can get down against a team like Colorado and then find their game. And, you know, credit to Bruce Cassie. He made a couple little in-game adjustments, moved some people around on the lines, and found exactly what he needed to. Sometimes you got to find something that's going to ignite the team, that little spark. And that happened. But, you know, Barbashev got it going in the third period early with a goal playing on the fourth line. And, you know, from there, they just carried the momentum. And, you know, I still think Hurdle's first goal should have counted.
Yeah.
I didn't see... I thought it was a battle. That he, you know, you're entitled to certain ice. I think maybe because his one skate was just in the blue paint. But that said, they found a way to get the win. And that, it's important to find different ways to win at this time of the year. Say that all throughout the year. But now it's right there in the memory bank if they get in that situation in playoffs.
Tomas Hurdle said after the game that he was okay with the first one being called off.
Okay.
Knowing the final result, to use the word karma. So
karma.
I like that.
Well, and I love the presence he has. Both those goals are exactly what the Golden Knights needed, that presence in front of the net, a guy that's willing, a guy that knows how to play there. You know, his other goal was a great example. When did he score? He's last game.
Yeah.
In front where it was a battle. He's in front of the net, out battles, gets the loose puck, put it past Fleury on the short side against Minnesota. So the way in which he's scoring goals is another element added to this Golden Knights team that I – you know, Bruce Cassie was looking for. Barbashev is a real good net presence. And now you have Hurdle, who loves, he's made a living there, like a great career at going to that area. He is a big, powerful man. And then faceoffs, he's just absolutely been dominant. So starting with the puck has been key for them, too. So he can win on both sides. It's interesting. You know, most guys want to be their strong side, pulling back. I don't know how many draws he won last night on his forehand, like clean. He's got a knack in the faceoff circle. He's got a strong stick. He's quick. He anticipates right. And, he's been a great addition.
Plus the vibes.
And the vibes. Boy, is he a happy man.
He is. Some say that about you.
Oh, yeah. The Millard usually tells me that.
I want to talk about other pieces that could be coming back and kind of where the team chemistry is standing, you know, through this final week. But before we get to that, I want to talk about around the league or looking ahead to potential playoff matchups. Of course, the players say they try not to predict matchups too much, but I think it's human nature to a little bit, and we're allowed to do it. So I'm curious, the most likely scenario, Dallas, Edmonton, or Vancouver for the Golden Knights. So I want to break down each of them.
Okay.
How do you view what the Dallas Stars have done this season?
I think Dallas, to me, might be the best team outside of the Golden Knights. I just think they're complete. They've got four lines that can roll. They've got a ton of guys that score goals. I think they've got 8 20-goal scorers. And that's Dan Coven, a young player they called up. Probably would have got 20 if he was up the whole season. So you're talking about three full lines. And then they got a fourth line that matches up, similar to Vegas. Deep on D, Ottinger, good goaltending. They're deep. They're a strong team. They're trying to get over the hump, and certainly – you know, there's probably added motivation if they meet him. You got a former coach of the Golden Knights there that does that. But I think regardless of who they meet, it's going to be a tough opponent. There's no question. And I think Vegas still has the team that they can get by anybody. It's a lot of things can happen in playoffs, and you need a couple things to go your way and play the right way. But the Stars are a complete team. You talk to people around the league. There are a lot of favorites to go all the way right now from people. So it won't be easy, but yeah, I think they can. It's going to be tough. They match up against them, or else you go against Vancouver. And Vancouver, when I think of Vancouver, and you're going to hear this all the time, people say, well, they don't have a lot of experience. Well, you don't get an experience until you get into playoffs. Yeah. It's every team. Nobody has it. So they have it'll be interesting how they handle it. As you know, they've had an incredible season. Rick Tocch has done a great job getting them to buy in defensively. Thatcher Demko will be the key for him. If he can get back to form, get back healthy as a goaltender, because I think he's been the key to their success this season. They've got some talent up front. They got big defensemen. They've learned to defend the right way through Tocchet. So another challenge. And then you talk the Oilers. You're talking two of the best players in the world in McDavid and Dreisaitl. So how do you shut them down? Discipline will be key. The Oilers lean on their power play heavily. They did last year in playoffs, but we saw the Golden Knights. They found a way to get through the Oilers. So again, the Oilers will. There's a little bit, they'll want redemption. So yeah. There's no, you can break it down however you want it. It's three opponents that aren't going to be easy.
Yeah.
And I think, so if you're the Golden Knights, I don't think they're sitting there saying, I want this team or that team. It's going to be who it's going to be, and they're going to have to be ready.
A strength of Dallas, similar to Vegas, is the depth down the middle. Yeah. How does that play out through a series?
It'll be interesting because I don't think matchups will be much of a concern. But, Bruce Cassidy made a real good point there. You prep and you pregame. So when you're talking about playoffs, I can give everybody, I've been there. So you'll get books. You'll break down the other team, what they do on their forecheck, how they defend in the neutral zone, breakouts, how you can try and get pressure on them. You'll go through individual players, their tendencies. You'll get a goaltending package on the goaltender. So you get all that information, and then you go out and play the game, and then it all changes, because it's Bruce said, it's after that first game, then it's the in-game adjustments, and it's more about what you need to do. And it's, he said, it's not, you're not talking about 8, 9, 10 things. It's usually 2 or 3 little things that you'll adjust each and every game to your opponent, so you're prepared. So it becomes that that in series adjustments to try and get the edge. And that's it goes game by game, and it may change game by game, or you may like what you've done, then the other team's going to try and do something different. And so, as we said, all that prep goes out, and it's about going out and executing, playing the game, trying to impose your will and your structure and your game plan and execute it better than the opposition.
Would Edmonton be the most emotional matchup, do you believe?
I think the most history will be obviously with Edmonton and Dallas,
because
last year with Dallas as well. I think those series, there's a little more heated battle built into it because of the past, as opposed to Vancouver. But when you get to playoffs, the temperature rises right away. It's that's what it's about. You're going to try and do everything you can to, as I said, impose your will. So that's going to be physically, that's going to be with speed, skating, mentally. There'll be chirps going on back and forth throughout the series. There'll be certain players that they have their one-on-one battles. Everything grows. But I would say the Oilers, certainly, because if we look back at last year, I think that was maybe the toughest test for the Golden Knights. They went with Dallas, went deep, but they were up 3-0 and found a way in that series. But it was back and forth against the Oilers, and a lot of people picked the Oilers. Nobody picked Vegas last year in a lot of those series, so it was interesting. We'll see what happens this season, and I think they have no problem if the experts out there who do predictions, and I think it fires them up if people still think they're the underdog, even though they're defending champions.
The East.
Oh,
obviously, the seeding.
Who's going to get in?
Yeah, the seeding is the story in the West, but who's going to get in that final spot in the East? What do you think?
Well, I'm looking at the schedule, so what do we got tonight? Detroit, they host Montreal. The Islanders, I think they're safe, but they're playing New Jersey. Mm-hmm. The Pittsburgh-Nashville is a big game. The Penguins with Crosby's kind of willed everybody in, and that's another whole topic. But if Pittsburgh gets in, I think, and we're talking about the heart, we're going strictly for points. If Crosby miraculously gets these Pittsburgh Penguins back in, what he's done at his age, I think he's got to be consideration for the Hart Trophy as well. it's tough. The Capitals are they're in against Boston, and they host Boston, but the Bruins have a chance to clinch the Atlantic tonight, so they're going to be motivated. Who do I think gets in? Maybe Detroit. Who do you think?
The Crosby dynamic. You know, it's just fun to watch.
He is fun to watch. Yeah, Detroit, Pittsburgh. I'd be fine with one of those two teams getting in. You know, the Islanders are in there. They would have been my pick to stay out. I don't find them exciting. I think, you know, Detroit's got some excitement to them. They've come a long way, taking steps. It's hockey town. Mm-hmm. It's a great city. That building's alive. Hockey's back there after they were so good for so long and then haven't been, you know, over the past little while. So, but Pittsburgh, if they get in, and it's interesting too. I think, you know, everybody automatically assumes, okay, well, it's going to be a quick out for whoever gets. But these guys have been playing playoff hockey.
Florida last year.
Yeah, Florida. Yeah. There's always a team that grinds their way in. So they're already, you know, they're not ramping it up. They're already in playoff mode, and it's just like continuing on because they've been playing for their lives for so long here to try and get in playoffs. They're ready and set to go. So it'll be interesting. That's why it goes back to how we open it up. It's the best time of year for all those reasons. It is so hard to make predictions because you never know. You mentioned Florida, what they did, the 8 seed, L.A., they won a cup as an 8 seed. There's so much parity in the league. You know, you jockey for position for home ice, but anything can happen.
Might be putting you on the spot here. Is there a team that you expected to be in this playoff mix that we're talking about that surprised you when they fell short and are not in this mix? East or West?
East or West. I would say Pittsburgh. I thought they'd be more solidified into a playoff spot at this time. You look at what they did getting Erik Karlsson and you know, Crosby, the season he's had, Malkin is back and healthy. They got Riley Smith, I thought would add to their team. You know, Gensel, they had traded him and now still have a chance. He was a great player, Brian. Like they've got the pieces on that team and, just did not go well for them for a long stretch, but they're making a push now, so credit to them.
Will the Rangers win the President's Trophy?
Yes.
Easy answer. No question?
They're playing Carolina? They got Ottawa tonight, right?
Yeah.
Ottawa plays hard. Brady Tkachuk's a lot of fun to watch, but I think the Rangers lock. Do you want to win the President's?
That's a question for when, you.
Who's the last team to do it?
I don't know the answer to
Chicago.
That. Chicago. All right.
What year was that? 2013, maybe?
Sounds right.
Yeah. Right. I think they were the last team to do it. So it's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's, you know, people say the curse. I don't believe in any
curse.
Of that. No.
It's like touching.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, the Clarence Bowl. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to chat with Bruce Cassidy. We're also going to talk about what's ahead for the Golden Knights this week, because it is Fan Appreciation Week, which continues as the Golden Knights celebrate their fans with activations in T-Mobile Arena and beyond, special sales and giveaways, and much more. Every fan in the Fortress on April 16th will receive a Jack Eichel bobblehead. We'll show you that when we come back. Courtesy of City National Bank as the Golden Knights take on the Chicago Blackhawks. The Vegas Golden Knights Foundation is fueling the realm as Smith's offers discounts on gas from April 17th through 19th in honor of fan appreciation before the week concludes with Fan Appreciation Night on April 18th. Lots of excitement, and we'll talk about it more when we come back on Nighttime at Noon.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, welcome back as we talk more hockey, but first, are you missing football? The Vegas Nighthawks season is underway at Lee's Family Forum. Part of the Indoor Football League, the Nighthawks have 8 home games this season. Get your tickets now at nighthawksfootball.com. Go, Knights, go. And this is Ashley Weiss and Shane Knighty here in Studio 31. And Shane, as Fan Appreciation Week goes on, you heard us talking about this Jack Eichel bobblehead, the
Very
giveaway
nice.
Tomorrow night when they take on the Chicago Blackhawks. They nailed the celly. Do you think they did a good job?
That's a good celly.
It's a good celly. I think I wish that we had Shane.
Where's his stick?
The Sheriff Knighty's. Is there supposed to be a stick?
Well,
I don't know if there's supposed to be a stick. Okay.
I think there is a stick.
Broken.
We're just missing it.
It's broken. It's fine. Yours will not be broken when you get it tomorrow night, T-Mobile Arena. Not to worry.
Not to worry.
We should have brought your bobblehead, though.
Oh, we could have.
There's a sheriff bobblehead that sits on Dave Gosher's desk.
I can't because it's my own old broadcast where I used to work.
Well, we'll get you a Vegas Golden Knights one. How about that? I like that. We're going to catch up with Bruce Cassidy. We talked with him earlier. We're going to give everyone a listen. But first, just curious, you talked about, you know, back in your playing days, what is this week like for a player? You've clinched a playoff spot. but you have two games.
You're still playing for something, so yeah, it's a little intense, but you are trying to get through these games. And I talked about, you know, the mental focus, because you have to approach it the same. You know, nobody wants to get hurt at this time. You know, there's still some things to play for some guys, whether it's, for team first, but there's individual things. You know, Jonathan Marchessault was playing to try and pass William Karlsson's goal total, or, you know, there's certain things. And I think, you know, as things play out, and then is there an opportunity, maybe the coaching, maybe there's a couple guys you want to rest because, you know, you're into this time. So you want to get through these games. You got to make sure you prepare. And that talk about, you know, being a true pro, prepping the right way, making sure you're ready to play. That's on the individual. That's on the group as a team. They're a veteran group. So you've got to finish the season strong. You don't want bad habits to creep into your game. But at the same time, it's hard, not in human nature, to look forward to what's coming.
Well, let's take a listen to how Bruce Cassidy views this final week of the regular season. And Bruce, still unknown when your team will play its first playoff game, but this time next week, Stanley Cup playoffs will be in full swing. What goes through your mind when you hear that?
Well, obviously, memories of last season. It's funny you mentioned it, just driving in for the Colorado game yesterday and the weather and the early starts we went through with all those last year just started reminding me of the playoffs. And then you see the banners and the drive in with Stoney and Jack with the cup and everybody, and started thinking about it. It's right around the corner. It's the best time of the year. It's what we play for. It's a long grind through the regular season to get the opportunity to play for the cup, and so it's right around the corner. So I think everyone's probably excited, and their energy level will take a huge jump this week.
You talk about the end of the regular season. Each season has its story. How would you describe the story of this regular season?
Boy, I would call it, there's a lot of different parts to it. A lot of chapters, I think, this year. With playing through injuries being one of the main ones. Finding out a bit about the group that way. Uneven year for sure. I think we had higher expectations of where we'd finish. We're going to be a wild card, maybe third place, but we certainly thought we were good enough to repeat as division winners, but didn't work out that way. Give credit to the teams ahead of us. But the second part of that, or the last, part of the regular season, is we have found our game here. We are getting healthy. And when all the pieces are in there, that will be kind of like the finished product. What's it going to look like? And, you know, it's most teams have an idea going into the playoffs. We don't, because some of the guys haven't played together. We have a good feeling of how it's going to all look, but we got to get to that point.
So, what is that like for you? What does this week look like for the head coach?
Well, listen, we're playing two teams that are eliminated, so sometimes those games, teams come in here and they're loosey goosey, and you get drawn into that type of game, and you're trying to tighten up your game. I thought Minnesota, Colorado, these two games at home, we were really good defensively for the most part. You don't want to lose your structure there. Again, having guys back on the ice skating with the team that are going to join us, hopefully at some point, that haven't been in the lineup. So that's part of the week. How do they integrate? Just tidying up and hopefully going in on with a winning streak intact. That's always good too for the mental part of the game, to be going in while you're winning.
How much hockey will you watch this week?
Well, it'll be the usual, nothing changes. We're preparing for Chicago, then we'll prepare for Anaheim. Anaheim hasn't played. They played Saturday, and they don't play all week, so you can do that anytime. I think things will come clearer once Nashville plays their last game. We may have a better idea where we're finished, so now you're watching a few other teams. But we just played Vancouver. We just played Edmonton. The wild card, and this is, we haven't played Dallas for a long time. Could be the other opponent, so taking a peek at them, yet they only have one game, but I think it is Wednesday, so my guess is by then we'll probably be keeping a close eye on that game, just to get familiarized with their lineup, even though, we saw them in a six-game series last year, so, and not a lot has changed on their team, so there's going to be some consistency there that we wouldn't have to do too deep of a dive, just sort of get current.
Is it human nature to start thinking in your head, what if we play this team, what if we play that team?
It is, and there's no, people ask me, who do you, it doesn't matter. We don't have a preference. They're all good teams this time of year. They're in the playoffs for a reason. There's no easy game. So, but yes, you start thinking of, I think I'm going back to the Edmonton series from last year, going back to the Dallas series, Vancouver, obviously that would be a different animal. But yeah, I think it's human nature to start pre-planning a little bit what you might see.
So we're talking all hockey here, but is it golf and baseball season in the Cassidy household too for Shannon and Cole?
It is. Cole, you know, listen, he had tryouts. He's got a new team he made for next year, so they're starting to practice. I'll be back at my familiar stomping grounds, Henderson, this evening, Wednesday. Shannon is practicing after school. They played Saturday in the it's called the PGA Junior, I think. So, he's pitching Thursday, I think. So, don't think he'll be here to see the Ducks unless he runs over after the third inning or something. So, yeah, we're in full swing.
I know you said that you have not yet watched the cartoon version of yesterday's game, but curious your thoughts on some of the characters. Did you know that Ivan Barbashev was Batman? And if so, your reaction to that pick for him?
Batman, huh? Well, that's Barbie, right? Batman's got this kind of calm, cool, steely-eyed demeanor. That's Barbie for sure. So that's good casting right there. Who else? What were the other characters? So
Paul Cotter was Shaggy. That was my next one for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So was there a Scooby in there or no?
There was Bugs Bunny. Garrett Calloway sitting over here. Remind us who Bugs Bunny was. Chandler Stevenson, Bugs.
Yeah. Bugs, I'll have to think about that one, but definitely Shaggy. I remember Scooby. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah?
He used to say, "Hey, Raggy." That was that's my Scooby-Doo impression. And I got a kick out of those two.
Brett Howden. This is Brett Howden was Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman? Where does that come from?
I don't know if he knows that yet. I'm excited to see the look on his face when he finds that out. But I guess I'll end on this. If you were to be a superhero or a character, who would you be?
A cartoon character, huh? Let me see. I always liked Foghorn Leghorn. I thought he was kind of a commanding presence in the cartoons. And but superhero, who would that be? I was a fan of Spider-Man. Split person, kind of two personalities, like Batman. I like Batman too a lot, but that's taken, right? Barbie's got him. So, I like Spider-Man. I thought he's an interesting guy, the way he got around Gotham. Was it Gotham? No, that was Batman, Gotham. So, New York City. He was New York City, right? So he was always on
the webs coming out the wrist.
And, who was the editor? Mr. Grant was always screaming at him. Was it not? No, Mr. Grant might be Mary Tyler Moore. Boy, what was his name? The owner there at the newspaper.
I only know Mary Jane and Spider-Man. That's all I know.
He was Peter Parker. He was Peter Parker as the reporter. And at night, that was one of the cartoons I watched. I remember as a kid, when I'd come home for school and eat lunch, at noon, there was always a cartoon. That was one. Bugs was the other one.
And then hockey at night, I assume.
Jameson, that's right. Mr. Jameson used to bark at him all the time. And he had the cigar in his mouth, smoking in the office, you know, back in the day. You know, so anyway. Peter Parker, yeah, he's a good fellow. He did a lot for the city back then, solved a lot of crimes in the middle of the night.
Bruce Spider-Man Cassidy, thanks so much for doing this.
All right, thank you.
Shane doesn't always love when we go off the rails, but that's that
great.
One piqued your interest a little bit.
That's great,
You were on Google there?
Well, I was a big Scooby Doo fan as well, and he mentioned a lot of Spider-Man. I remember getting up and watching that cartoon in the mornings. We only had Saturday to watch cartoons, so that was my big day growing up. He was really good. He was really engaging with that. That was great. Wonder Woman for Brett Howden. I said
He
was the fastest skater was Wonder Woman in the game, so that's Brett Howden. So that was interesting. But, you got to have some fun with it. Bruce Cassidy, he's so good at these things.
How would you rate the Scooby-Doo impersonation?
That was good.
That was 10
I'm not going
to
do it, but that was pretty good.
I think you would be Batman.
I'd be Batman.
Right?
Yeah, I could see. I love Batman. I actually dressed up as Batman when I was a kid.
I'm going to guess you would say that Darren would be Shaggy.
I think there's a story. Yes, that's a good one. There's a story when I dressed up as Batman. I remember I was probably like 6, and I think I fell down the stairs. And my mom was worried, and I got up, and I said, "Batman never gets hurt or cries or something."
And that's how we have the Shane 90 that we have
that's
today.
That's why.
All right, well, maybe enough superhero talk for now. Maybe we'll, talk about it at the end of the show. We'll see. We're going to go to break for now. But first, hey, Golden Knights fans, night up your vehicle with a Vegas Golden Knights license plate. Show your spirit for the Golden Knights no matter where you go. Become the ultimate fan and grab your new license plate today. Visit dmvnv.com/plates to show your pride. We'll be right back.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, as we welcome you back to Nighttime at Noon at the last Monday of the regular season. We'll be talking playoff hockey at this time next week on this program, which is so exciting. And down in the Arts District, they're gearing up. The Los VGK mural unveiling happened just about a half hour ago. So let's take a look, Shane.
Let's.
For this project, we were very blessed that Los VGK hit us up to do an all-encompassing community-driven mural here in the Arts District with something that has a very close-to-home feel. So this is for the Los VGK to celebrate the 2023 championship of the Stanley Cup. And we have some very devout artists here in our artistic community, as well as some artists that have traveled in order to make that dream to a reality.
As far as the design goes, I mean, I tried to make it as hockey with Hispanic vibes as possible without just like totally going one way or the other. I tried to balance in between the imagery and ended up landing on the mascot as the image. And I just wanted it to be fun, bright, inviting, but also like fit the vibe of the restaurant so it doesn't look out of place on the wall and all of the different elements trying to balance that together to make a cohesive image. And we projected last night. So, I mean, one night of projecting and then 3 days of solid painting all the way through. I like to start with the base and towards the details. And so right now we're just blocking in all the background gray color, and then we'll do in the background pattern, and then we'll start rendering in the characters and doing all the highlights, shadows, outlines, and all the details come last, and that's what really brings it all to life.
I've officially been working in the Arts District of Las Vegas for 3 years, although I've been an artist my whole life, professionally 5 years now. I have another VGK mural right down Main right here, the Mark Stone one. I was assisting on that one as well. It was also six Latin artists that did that, and that was kind of the main header. And so for us to continue like with a second big mural in the Arts District for the Vegas Golden Knights and for it to be an all-Hispanic team, that's just like that really roots us in the community of the art community, of the sports community, of just Vegas in general. You know, it's really cool.
And for everyone listening on the radio side who wasn't able to see that, it is beautiful. It is at Casa Don Juan down in the Arts District.
The Latin artists, that's amazing to me to watch that develop, how they did that. The artists amaze me. I can't even paint a wall. Like, the corners, like, I've tried to do, I can't even, you know,
can't
get the green tape.
Figure.
They're doing that whole thing with spray cans, rollers, brushes. That is, it blows my mind, the talent they have in Los VGK. That's beautiful. Now, what a beautiful mural.
I also never knew, I drive past, never knew that it was projected on before. I never knew how any of that worked.
I'm the furthest thing from an artist, I'll tell you that.
So now there's two Golden Knights inspired murals down there. Just another example of this team's presence in the community. Yeah. And no better time than the playoffs, too, when you're driving around just to see Golden Knights everywhere.
Well, you see, and connect with the Spanish-speaking community. It's incredible how much, you know, being here since day one.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want everybody involved and everybody, you know, has a piece of this Golden Knights team. It's the Vegas born. This is, you're here and you're part of it. And it goes now, it just continues to grow. And I think that's tremendous to be ingrained as an organization in your community.
You're talking about growing since day one. Yesterday, both Braden McNabb and William Carlson skated in their 500th games as Golden Knights. Jonathan Marchessault at 512. So he hit that mark just a couple of weeks ago. I want to go through, I guess, each of them individually. I'm curious in what ways you've seen them grow and change since their first games as Golden Knights.
Well, I'll start with Braden McNabb. And the one thing I'm going to use with, there's a couple words, consistent. I think, you know, has he changed? His game doesn't change. And that is a big compliment because he's steady. He's consistent. He's durable. For the game he plays, you know, blocking shots, physical, just game after game, he knows how to play. And to build that in, that to me, you know, really shows what a true professional he is. He has the ability to make little plays. You don't think of him as this big offensive guy. And I think we spoke with John Stevens earlier in the season. He said, Braden McNabb You won't see those great offensive plays in the ozone, but defensively, his ability to make little plays with good hands, smart plays, on breakouts, under pressure, and then he defends so well. He's a, you know, big part of their penalty kill for years. He just, each and every day, you know what you're going to get. And I think, you know, for a coaching staff to have a player like that, that's, he's reliable, very reliable and consistent. And it's an impressive career for the type of game he plays.
Leader not on that not team. Easy nights.
Not easy. There's no easy nights for him. He's always up against, you know, the other team's top players and in every situation. And he's played all 80 games. Jonathan Marshall, the only other one to do that for the Golden Knights this season. So, yeah, his game hasn't changed. And I think with Carlson, I think of him very similar. William Carlson, and I know Jack Eichel just said this the other day, possibly underrated player in the league. And I agree. I think he reminds me, I had the pleasure of playing with a guy named Patrice Bergeron, who is both ends of the ice. Just, and I, to me, William Carlson is very similar to him. He doesn't have all the Selke trophies to go along with it, but whether the offense is there for him or not, certainly year one was tremendous. He scored the 43 goals. Everything was going in. It's like, wow. And but he plays, you know, with McNabb, you know, each and every night. He's going to be responsible. He's so good defensively. He's on the right side of the puck. His work habits. If I have young players, as a centerman, and I say, you know, I used to say watch Patrice Burr, you know, watch around the league. I'd tell players, forwards, young hockey players, watch William Carlson game after game, because the way he attacks the game, the way he is so smart, little details about away from the puck. He's always on the right side. He plays on the power play, plays on the penalty kill, and having a terrific year hitting the 30-goal mark with two goals yesterday.
Before we get to Marchessault, curious with William Carlson, you talk about the things he does away from the puck, the details, always being on the right side.
Details. That's the word I was looking for.
Is there anything beyond that that you think allows him to make the players around him better? Bruce Cassidy talks, but you can put any young winger with them, and it seems like
they
smart. Take off.
He has a really high hockey IQ, and approaches each and every, is a true pro. I think the one thing to him is he's such a well-conditioned athlete. And I had the opportunity to go over to Sweden, I think, was it after year one?
Yeah, I think it was.
To train with him? I never trained like that in my career.
For people who haven't seen that feature, I'm sure you can dig back
origins,
into the Golden
yes.
Knights website and find William Carlson's origins piece, but explain what that regimen was.
Well, just constantly, they do a thing, a bike test called the Wingate, which we only used to do once a year. That was a training camp. They do it, I think, twice a week. They do that same test three times. And it's, you basically get on a bike, it's a 30-second test, and they drop all this weight, the tension, and you've got to power through, and they take metrics and measure everything of how well you do on it. I never did well at all. I did that twice with him, and that was it for me. And I was in decent shape when I did that, and I was younger, obviously, if it was 6 years ago. But he does it, and just the recovery. I think the biggest thing that surprised me is you do that test, that might finish you for the day, but the recovery, and then he does it again, then recovery. And I think he just approaches his training like he does everything else. It's all out. And that's why he's the player he is. That's why he can be relied on, you know, game after game, the way he comes in. And his teammates, Jack Eichel, who's a star in the league, saying that, understands it. Everybody understands Carlson's value, and they're willing to play with him because he's always in the right position. And I think that makes it easier as a winger, the way he can support underneath. You need an option, he's there. Or if you make a mistake, he can cover for you. And that's why he's a very, very popular teammate.
Is there something that you've liked, as consistent as he is there something that has elevated that's allowed him to hit the 30-goal mark again this year that you've noticed?
Because his game doesn't change so much. I think it's just he's finding the back of the net. I think he's just maybe putting himself in better positions offensively. That's helped. And just sometimes it's clicked. I think, you know, him, he's had Pavel Dorofeev play with him a lot. That's clicked, you know, with him. They played last year. So, Amadio. But whoever's been on his line, that's the thing about him. He just goes about
off.
It. I think it's just he's been finding it a little bit more, maybe better situations, and good for him, because it's good to see him rewarded with goals. Although if he had 15 this year, he's still just as valuable. It's great to see him finding the back of the net, though.
The other player who hit the 500 goal mark, or 500th game as a Golden Knight mark, a couple weeks ago in Jonathan Marsh. So he's sitting at 42.
Yeah,
goals,
sitting at 42.
One shy.
And Jonathan Marsh, so the great thing about all three of these players is, you know, I think year one, you didn't know what to expect, and then they came out, and I don't think they've changed year after year. All these players, they bring the same elements that make them successful as individuals, that make them successful as good teammates. And Marsh is so, he's probably the most vocal of them. I think he brings some energy and some character to the room, no question. He's, to me, he's a guy that was overlooked in his career. He's not anymore. He's got a Conn Smythe. But, and just, he wants to be in the big moments. He's one of those guys, and everybody wants to be in him, but he delivers. And that's what makes him unique, his ability to deliver big goals at big moments in his career. And you know, not a big guy, but the way he battles each and every game, talk about condition, he has to be. He can go on against a 6'5" defenseman and come out with the puck. He has that ability. He's got a, you know, you say he plays with a chip on his shoulder. I think he does that all the time. And he constantly, he's one guy you never want. I think if anybody doubts him, I think that just fires him up more and more to become the player he is. And, you know, as he's gone up in age, he just continues to produce. He's, you know what you're going to get from him each and every year. He can score goals. He scores big goals. And certainly I think he brings, as I said, that an energy to the group, you know, as he's gotten older and found himself in more and more in a leadership role. You know, you need different guys to kind of lead. You're going to have your quiets and leaders. You're going to have guys that lead by their play. And then you're going to need your vocal guys that are going to call players out, hold guys accountable, and then have some fun with it. So I think he brings a lot of those elements.
He made a comment after the overtime winner he had in St. Louis when we asked him, you know, what does he love about being the guy in that moment? And he said, well, I've worked hard to be that guy.
Yeah,
he
has.
That's part of why he embraces it. I think Bruce Cassidy made the Jonathan Money Marsh so comment on that same trip. It was a good quote trip, that really good road trip.
He is. He wants to be there. He wants to be the guy. And so many times he's been able to deliver, and that's Jonathan Marsh.
So he sits at 42 goals this season. The record was set by William Karlsson back in season one at 43 goals. It seems like there's some fans are conflicted. Some people want them to just tie it and be tied at 43. That way it's two original misfits holding that record. What do you think?
I could see their fans' point of view. Yeah, I think they just want everything to be happy, and they have their favorites, and those would be two of the favorites they've had here since year one, and what they've been able to do, the incredible season Karlsson had that first year, and now Jonathan Marchessault, who's, you know, he got two games left. I agree. I'm going to agree with the fans. I'd love to see if it's just keep it tied, because they're such good friends and everything.
Something they are good
friends.
I would think
they could share it together.
I would think that William Karlsson would be completely okay with Jonathan Marchessault breaking that record.
I think, who knows on the inner workings on how that works.
I know. Yes. Marchessault claims that he won't talk to Karlsson about it, that only Karlsson will bring it up. Yeah. So I don't know if that's a superstition.
Well, I think, for me, who knows, you know, Jonathan may just want to keep it going and not talk about it until he's either there or beyond.
Were you superstitious as a player?
Not as much as there a lot of guys are. Just like, I call it more routine, right? And the way you get ready for games. There's certain guys. I played with guys that, you know, they, you know, one skate on, this skate, tie a certain way. Their stick had to be lined up on a wall, and I was kind of more the guy that would mess with the guys that were a little cuckoo.
Why is that not surprising at all? Yeah, are you talking about like when Dave doesn't want anything touched in the booth and you move his pin just
to... Yeah, he's got a little OCD. I like to move his stuff on his desk or change certain things.
Some things never change. Well, we talked about a couple of the 30-goal scorers this season. We're going to dive into all three. When we come back, we'll talk about how the chemistry is lining up. We'll talk about if and when we see Mark
Stone.
Oh, we're
going to play the potential game.
Might. Oh, yes.
What does it look like?
We're all about hypotheticals here on Nighttime at Noon. But nonetheless, stick with us. We'll be right back.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, as we welcome you back, Lee's Family Forum in Henderson is the home for Henderson sports. Don't miss any of the action of the Henderson Silver Knights, Vegas Nighthawks, and Vegas Thrill. For more information about upcoming events, visit leesfamilyforum.com. And, of course, the Golden Knights have a game tomorrow against the Chicago Blackhawks at T-Mobile Arena. And as we start to preview that, we touched on a couple of the 30-goal scorers.
Yeah.
One being William Karlsson, Jonathan Marchessault sitting at 42, Jack Eichel in that mix as well. Last year, they did not have a single player hit the 30-goal mark in the regular season. this regular season, they have three. What do you think about that stat?
Well, I think it's great. It just shows the offense been able to come there and you know, heating up at the right time. You know, Eichel missed a ton of games. You know, he would have been a 90-point guy this year. He could have possibly pushed for 40, you know, missing as much time as he did in Marcia. So, of course, we know the season. We talked about what he's done. Just what a run here, especially in the new year. Just incredibly taking, it seemed like every night he was just on a roll. And he's always been one of those guys, when he gets hot, he's hot. And it stays. And, of course, great to see William Karlsson yesterday. And not only score 30, both those shots, he couldn't have placed them better off the post and in on the power play. And the power play, another area that's clicking at the right time here for the Golden Knights getting going. So I think it's great. The thing, and it for me, it's you want the players to feel good. You know, and you feel good when you win games, but individually for guys who are expected or want to have that feel good offensively, it's good for them to be rewarded in the stats column. And that's what's happened to these guys. Although said, they got two more games and then those stats don't exist anymore. They're gone. They're just there for the past, what they've done. But it's hard to score goals in this league, unless you're Austin Matthews, I guess, who's at 69.
69. Will he hit the 70-goal mark?
It's interesting because I know there's a debate going on. You know, do you rest him? Do you play him? Because they're pretty much set in that third, I believe, and they're going to play Florida. And they play Florida. And the Panthers are a bit nasty. So heading into playoffs, you know, I think he hits it. I think it would be great. Be only the 15th guy in NHL history to hit the 70-goal mark, which is just a staggering amount in today's game. I thought we'd ever see that again. So, you know, credit to Austin Matthews. That just blows me away what he's been able to do. So, but I'm not going to take away from what we said. We got the 330-goal scorers for the Golden Knights, and credit to them and what they've been able to do this season. So it's, as I said, I think that's good for guys to feel offensively confident heading into playoffs.
Connor McDavid also sitting on 99 assists, and it looks like he's in the lineup tonight as they face the Sharks. So just another milestone.
And Nick Kucherov's at 98 assists. So both those guys, and another staggering to hit. A lot of guys, you want to hit 100 points is tough, but to hit 100 assists, yeah, it's been. You know what? I think this has been one of the best regular seasons. Just with everything going on, you look at the race in the East right now, or we're down to the final two games, still not settled, even positioning. So it's been a good year. And then you look at all the offensive numbers just climbing. You know, it doesn't seem that long ago. You know, Jamie Benn won, like Art Ross with 80 points. This is a little while ago now, but obviously, you know, what Connor McDavid's come in, Kucherov, Draisaitl, there's incredible talents now, and I think it's great for the game. These the skill level that continues to trickle into the NHL is just off the charts, and I'm glad I'm retired.
I was going to be glad that was the case when you weren't defending these guys. Was going to be my next question.
It's a different game, and you know it's
you
great.
Could fight
great
better than a lot of these guys too, though. So you could still hang your hat on that.
The league's different now. The game's different. It continues to evolve. It continues to get better, more competitive, and It's the best league in the world for a reason, and it's why you're getting the best players, and those players now, just with the training, the evolution, everything, they're bigger, faster, stronger, and I think it makes for a more exciting game, and that's what we've had this season.
We heard in our conversation with Bruce Cassidy earlier him talk about how they haven't had the full team and haven't had a ton of time to, you know, get chemistry going. Based on the guys who are in the lineup right now, do you feel like it's getting there between the way Mantha has fit and Hurdle has fit?
I think Hurdle, Hurdle's best game as Golden Knight was last game. I think he's starting to understand where he fits in. You know, the Mantha, Karlsson, Dorofeev line looked like, you know, they had a real good stretch, kind of has fallen off. But I think they've got so many really good pieces they can move around. And for Bruce Cassidy, I'm sure him and his staff will be sitting there playing the game of, you know, potentially what will we have? And, you know, I think he's kind of how much they do that, because you never really truly know. Defensively, I think, you know, Alex Pietrangelo, he comes back. That's a big piece back in the lineup. How does that fit in? They've got eight guys capable of playing on the blue line. And then up front, the question mark will be, you know, is Mark Stone, if and when he may be ready to play, where does he fit in?
Where would you like to see him fit
in? Well, you talked about the chemistry. How do you not play him with Chandler Stephenson? Mm-hmm. So, you know, is it Stephenson on the left, Hurdle at center, and Stone on the right side? Sounds like a pretty good line
to me.
What
would you like about that line?
Well,
besides size, the individual pieces.
So you got
but
size,
explain.
Speed, creativity, just. And then at the same time, you know, I think just because, you know, Bruce Cassidy always talks about pairs, right? Mm-hmm. And Stevenson and Stone, the success they've had together, they've played together, they know how each other plays. And then, but that's with Stevenson at center. So do you, but I like Hurdle at center.
Do you like the ability to interchange them?
I think that there's ability, or do you, you know, can you move, you know, could you, you know, Eichel, Stone, Barbashev, and maybe Marchessault with Carlson? And Dorofeev or Mantha or Cotter or Matteo, there's so many pieces. Howden, you know, Waugh, Kolasar. Where's Will Carrier? We don't know. They've got so many options. Really good players, tons of depth, which you need in playoffs. You know, Stone's the big one, and everybody, I'm sure, is going to play the game. Where would you fit him in? But I just, you know, automatically go to him and Stevenson and Hurdle.
I think
that
that's the popular prediction.
It is. And then, you know, you keep the other thing, Barbashev, Eichel, Marchessault together. And then, you know, what do you do with Carlson line? That, and then the Waugh, Carey, Howden,
Carlson
Kolasar,
and Mantha
any,
have become a good pair.
Yeah, yeah, Carlson, Mantha, and Dorofeev has been, you know, mm-hmm. just the kid scores goals.
Scorofeev.
That's a great nickname.
I didn't come up with it.
No. Who's that,
question.
Darren Millard?
No, it was. I think it was Shea Theodore that I heard yell it down the hallway to him when I was there one time.
So it came from within the room.
It came from within the room.
Perfect.
But if we ask Darren, he might.
He'll take credit for it. I'm sure he gets excited over that stuff.
The name Nick Waugh came up, and I wanted to ask you about him because he missed a few games. The team struggled in those few games. Is his presence underrated?
Yes. Because he's a fourth line center here, he could play two or three on numerous teams in this league. His size, he makes him a better defending team. He makes it easier for the coach in matchups because that when he's at center in that fourth line, you can play them against anyone. And Brett Howden does a good job at center there too. I'm not taking anything away. Bruce Cassidy wants to roll fourth lines, but
options again.
But it just brings the balance and your depth to another level when Waugh's at center on that fourth line. You know, he can play power play. He's a big part of the penalty kill. So it spreads the minutes out. And it just gives the coaches the ability to talk about playoffs, the importance of playing at home. Well, what's the biggest thing? Obviously the fans. Then the other thing is last change. But start on the road, you don't have the fans. But he doesn't need to worry about last change because he can just focus on whatever line he's confident in, whoever's on the ice that can handle who's up against him.
And quickly, as we start timing out here, if you're the Vegas Golden Knights, what are you looking to get out of tomorrow's game against the Chicago Blackhawks?
Just continue to play their game. I think the structure, the defensive good habits here through the last two games.
Sounds good.
That's what Bruce Cassidy wants. I'm stealing from him. You
no.
talked to him. That's what he wants out of it.
So, big week for the goaltending department,
yes.
too. That game will actually be with our friends over at ESPN. But Shane Knighty and myself will have you covered on the pregame show, Vegas 34, Scripps Sports, Nighttime Plus, Shameless Plug. We'll end this show on that note. Thanks for watching and listening to Nighttime at Noon with Ashley Weiss and Shane Knighty.